Into the Blender, episode 32.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
It really doesn't matter at all. Love is such a reason to fall. And time goes nowhere when you're too careful.
We now return you to the podcast already in progress.
St. Patrick's Day. Em had a choir concert that night.
Mm-hmm. Pretty uneventful St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we just had the choir concert, Em's choir concert. And, of course, by the time that lets out, we're just ready to go home and go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, I was really hit with the fact that he's only got two more before he's a high school graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, aww. Every once in a while, I'm like, this is the last thing of this, or this is the last time we'll, you know. It's like at Christmas, like, this was the last Christmas as a, quote, child. So really enjoy it, you know. Really revel in it. And then you had a friend from your younger days that was actually here in town visiting. So you actually got to go out to dinner with him. I had to beg off because I was exhausted and with my schedule. Which I think actually turned out good because you just had some boy time.
Yeah. I hadn't seen him since high school. We were sitting out there talking about it and we're like, I haven't seen you since 1987 or something like that.
That's crazy.
Like, wow.
I love that you stayed in touch with him and, you know, through email and Facebook and phone calls and stuff.
Yeah, and he's been all over. I mean, each of us have lived in, I think, three different states since then. But he had... After high school, he went into the military.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, you know, went all over the world. He lived in Germany for a bunch of years and lived in different countries and landed in Missouri. Well, he lived in Florida for a long time.
Yeah.
But he was out for training, actually, for his job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had a nice dinner and went and hung out at a Starbucks. And
just caught up, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very nice. Talking about how old we are. He has twin sons.
Yeah. They're cute.
So, what a handful.
But... I've seen the pictures. They're so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Little chunky babies. Well, I guess not babies.
So, just reflecting on, you know, growing up and multiple marriages. And
yeah.
Kids.
So, he's been married
Bills.
Before?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. It was kind of funny when we were talking about it. We always end up talking about music and stuff. And through email and stuff, we still, you know, music is kind of a focus for us. And he was saying we had lost touch for a few years and then had, you know, reconnected. And in that period of time, he had been in the military and gone all over and stuff. And he actually met his wife. He met her first online.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said, started off the conversation that I was indirectly responsible for meeting his wife.
Really?
Because I got him into Depeche Mode. And he became a Depeche Mode nut.
See, he and I really need to spend some time together.
And at the time, he was, this is back in high school, he was into, I don't know, Boston and like classic rock stuff.
Yeah.
And so I had introduced him into techno and all, you know, electronica stuff. And so, and he just went crazy for it and bought, you know, everything he could get his hands on. And so when he was in Germany, he was part of the fan club and the, what is it called? Bong newsletters or I think it was called that. Anyway, so he had started corresponding with this woman in the States who was another Depeche Mode fan. And that's how they met online.
That's so cute.
And then when he came into the country, they met and then ended up getting married. And
aww.
Of course, now they're divorced. But that was number one.
But still.
Yes. And from what I understand, they're still kind of friends.
Yeah, that's good. Depeche Mode, bringing people together. Even if only briefly. Well, I think it's
kind of funny.
I love that we'll be going along and you'll have the iPod on shuffle and a Depeche Mode song will come on and you'll start singing along. And I'm like, you are so the right man for me. Having a guy that can sing along to, I don't know, Just Can't Get Enough. I'm like, oh, this is heaven. I love it. Well, that following weekend was when Biscuit and Cap came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because Biscuit's birthday was that Friday night, the next Friday night. So they came out, they came tearing into town around 11. And Saturday we had a lot of potential things to do. There was a robot thing. There was a gaming day thing. And it was just, as usual, it happens. There's so much chaos when Biscuit and Kath are here that it kind of all just goes, ping, you know, squeak. And we never know what's going to happen. And so they ended up going to the robot thing. We ended up not being able to because of a timing thing. And so we just got ready for, you know, getting stuff pulled together for dinner and this, that, and the other. I baked a cherry pie.
Yes, you did.
It was the first pie I had baked since, you know, I was a little girl and baked with my mom. And I have to thank Cammy Cat. Because she sent me her cherry pie recipe. It was fantastic. That's what Biscuit wanted for his birthday, quote, dessert cake thing. Was a cherry pie, so I had to make a birthday. Thanks, Biscuit. And since then, though, I didn't say. The thing that Emma and Dan brought as kind of a, you know, thanks for having us stay with you. Thanks for welcoming us into your home. They brought me an armload of, like, real spices, like vanilla beans and actual whole nutmegs and... I mean, just like cassia cinnamon and I mean, just all of this amazing stuff. I was just in heaven. So I had, you know, fresh vanilla bean and nutmeg and all this really great stuff. So I actually got MA's apple pie recipe and baked an apple pie a couple weeks later. That was just fantastic. That was
awesome.
It was so good. I mean, we were hurting ourselves with it. It was just fantastic. So that night, anyways, we had ordered in Chinese food and had cherry pie, and we watched the BSG finale, and we introduced them to Castle, and then I went to sleep, and you guys stayed up later. This whole getting up at 4:30 in the morning thing makes me a real party pooper. I can't last past, like, 2 o'clock in the morning on the weekends.
Yeah.
Lightweight.
Although, yeah, the BSG finale and then much discussion about the finale.
We spent like an hour just talking about
what we were happy with, what we weren't happy with, and what did this mean, what did that mean. And,
and one of the things that I said was, because I think y'all know I mainlined it, I watched the entire thing within 2 weeks of the finale. And... the bad news was I was sick right before I started work, so I was running around at the last minute trying to get everything done. The good news was I was stuck in bed, so I could watch and get everything viewed before the finale aired. And the thing that I think several of us said that night was, it just keeps going. You know, you think, okay, then there's closure. And then you take it a little to the next step. Okay, there's closure. And then you do something more. And it just, it reminded me of that movie Brazil that was out in the 80s, where you think, okay, there's the ending. No, there's more. Okay, that's the ending. No, there's a little more. And it just felt like, I understand they wanted to give all of the fans closure, but I don't think we needed total and complete closure on every single character. But I still loved it.
I think being on both sides of having series that never got a chance to end and then having series that actually did end.
Yeah.
I think I'm in favor of not having endings.
Really?
I think I really am. And a lot of it's the circumstance. I've been told, like with Babylon 5, that the way they were forced to end it, they were going to get canceled, so they hurried up and did a bunch of stuff that was going to be in future seasons. And then they come back and they did movies in between, and then they did this other thing, and I was very unsatisfied with that their endings. And there was another series that actually got a real end that I was disappointed with. Now I don't remember what it was. well, like Seinfeld, and then though at the time I remember liking that.
I didn't like it at the time.
Most people didn't. Oh, and we differ on the Roseanne ending.
Yeah, I thought it was neat. You mean the whole how the last season was this right. crazy yes. schemes and stuff, and
it
then
it was all a dream.
Well, the thing that I liked about that, if you guys didn't watch Roseanne, then you're bored. But you know, I had watched it for years, mm-hmm. and I'm not a fancy girl. I don't put on airs. I don't think I put on airs. I'm not pretentious or snobby. I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think people may, if anybody thinks that about me, it's because I kind of adhere to some strict rules on how we raise the kids. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm no fancy girl, you know? And so I enjoyed the humor and the sarcasm of Roseanne mm-hmm. and kind of the look, I'm a real person aspect. And so the thing that I think that I like the most about the Roseanne finale was the last season was crazy. They win the lottery and this happens and that happens and blah, 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 blah. And it's just one more crazy concept after another. Mm-hmm. And then you find out that, you know, this is not a spoiler, people. This was like 10 years ago. Right. So the last episode is she's writing mm-hmm. and she has written this story to deal with the fact that her husband died. Mm-hmm. And so she wrote about all of these crazy circumstances. It wasn't a dream. It was more,
oh, right.
she was novelizing it. And she had thought it would be more interesting to put this daughter with this boy rather than the way it worked out. Mm-hmm. And so it was just, I just liked the fact that it kind of held its middle finger up and said, we're going to end this the way we want to end it. And for everybody that's been criticizing this last season, saying it's too crazy and insane and it doesn't make any sense and it's out of bounds and unbelievable, mm-hmm. this is why. Mm. We went into it with a purpose and you judged it without seeing the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about it, is because, you know, and that was one of the reasons I didn't want to get going on BSG until it was coming close to the end, because a lot of times I'll be like, I can't. You know, I've got to wait another week to find out what's going on. I'm not really interested. I'm losing interest in the way the story's going. Mm. Well, the way I watched BSG, it was just evolving so fast. And I was just, okay, what's next? I could just put in the next one and go. Rather than saying, you know, I didn't really like the last couple episodes, I give up. Kind of like I did with Lost. Kind of like I did with Heroes. Sorry, mm-hmm. everybody. You know, kind of like what I'm doing with Dollhouse. Oh, please don't hate me. But you know what I mean? It was just one of those things that for those of you that stuck with it, and gave the whole picture a chance, you get it. You get to see why it was like that. And I kind of like that. I kind of dug that concept of it. I think if you had watched Roseanne from season one all the way through to the finale, mainlining it, I think that you would find it a lot more enjoyable than waiting week by week and seeing what crazy... Because to me, it was really over the top and hard to watch.
Yeah.
The aunt, Roseanne's sister, Jackie.
Right.
Was turning into like a Barney Fife caricature.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, oh, what is, well, this is just too much. But then when you saw it at the end, it made such sense to me. I liked the way it all tied together, but you didn't like it. And I get that. I dig that. It was the whole, it was a dream. The whole like I shot JR kind of, Dallas thing.
Yeah. Or, I thought that was a cop out on BSG too.
Yeah.
He was an angel.
Well,
now we don't have to explain anything else.
I kind of liked that. I mean, well, that was my interpretation of what Starbuck was. I don't know what other people thought. I haven't listened to anybody else's opinion about it.
Well,
other than
I had read an interview with after the fact.
And okay.
That they still kind of said, well, we wanted to leave it somewhat ambiguous, but came out and said, yeah, she's an angel.
Yeah. I kind of like that aspect of it. I got kind of irritated at Gaius and Six. At the very end of it. It reminded me, what was that movie with Cameron Diaz and Ewan McGregor? Something about the heart.
Yeah.
And Holly Hunter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like the same thing where they walked around and they were orchestrating all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Holly Hunter and what's Delroy?
Yeah, Lindau.
Lindau. And they were orchestrating all of these things. And it kind of irritated me that that's what it boiled down that Six and Gaius were in my interpretation of it.
Right.
Because I felt like, well, it's already been done.
Right. And then it was ambiguous whether they were either angels or they were demons.
Yeah.
they could have been either way.
Or both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, we talked about that for a long time, and then we introduced them to Castle, and now they're totally hooked.
Yeah. Because it's such a fun show.
It's lighthearted, considering it's about murders and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the ensemble cast kind of thing, I think, is really great. Yeah. It's just a fun show.
Yeah, I think it's fun. It's good.
Murder,
it's
a little, mystery,
it's
detective.
It's a little dorky. It's a little
geeky. And you get the laser tag, and you get, you know, the fencing, and you get all that kind of interaction with him and his daughter. I just dig it. And then Sunday we got up, and we had a big breakfast that day. And then we had the person that cuts our hair, that does our hair, mm-hmm. has injured herself and is unable to work, like, in a traditional environment.
Yeah.
But because she's unemployed and she's the best person that's ever cut her hair, she can do, like, a little bit here and there. And so we had called to see how she was feeling that day, and she said she was feeling good. So we went and picked her up and brought her over, and she just did hair for a day. She cut my hair. She cut and colored my hair. She cut Calf's hair. She cuts Biscuit's hair. She cut LT's hair. You were the only one that didn't get a haircut that day, and that was because mm-hmm. she was starting to hurt.
Yeah.
And so we just basically had, you know, Casa de Beauty.
Are you tired of the same old panels and seeking something different?
Have you ever wanted to see the intersection of science fiction and stand-up comedy?
Been curious to learn how Pavlov's dogs got their revenge, or how to cure cockroach problems through religion?
Wondered about the real differences between the genders and just how desperate men really are?
To satisfy all these urges and laugh in the process, come see An Hour of Spoken Word, Storytelling and Comedy by 2008 Compton Crook Award winner and sci-fi novelist Mark Van Name.
No subject is off-limit, no words are verboten, and the performance is definitely not for children. But adults in need of a laugh will have a great time.
You might even come away from it with a new perspective on some important issues. Nothing says you can't laugh and think at the same time.
It's like bedtime stories for grown-ups. But you have to bring your own cookies and milk.
This and other quality events available exclusively at Balticon 43 Memorial Day weekend at the Hunt Valley Marriott. For more details, see our website, www.balticon.org.
Found a new place to eat. That's the first time that we went to that new ale house.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were in heaven, guys. I'm not a beer drinker, but they were in heaven.
There's a food menu, and there's a beer menu that's 40 pages.
The beer menu is 10 times bigger than the food menu. They have, what is it, 300 beers?
I don't recall, but that could be the number.
It seems like it's not enough. for a 40 page menu, but it's each beer is listed with descriptions and mm-hmm. where it's from, and, you know, I don't know what kind of food the brewery dog had for breakfast today. You know, it was just like this really detailed list of mm-hmm. description of everything, but the food was so good. So it's one of our favorite. We actually went there yesterday too.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Very good.
So I can't wait until we have friends come this way and we can take them out. I want to take Paulette there when she comes out in a couple weeks. Mm. I think she'd really like it because mm-hmm. she seems to like to try the ales and stuff when we go to DFH. Mm-hmm. So I think she'll like it. I'm hoping she'll want to go there. I meant to look and see if they have like vegetarian offerings. I think they do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'll have to check their website and make sure. It's really, really good. And so, again... Well,
something else that was interesting about it that we haven't tried yet, but it's up front, it has like a bar.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, it's, you know, restaurant-y.
Yeah.
And then in the back, there's a lounge.
Right.
With a bunch of couches and coffee tables and board games.
Yeah.
And I think there's even like dart boards in the very back. But so it looked like it'd be really cool to go hang out, have a nice beer, and play a board game.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. And they had something going on in the basement, too.
Oh, right.
Maybe that's... Well,
yeah, it's like a cellar, and then you can get special seating in the cellar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool place.
Yeah. Best burger ever. And then I think they pretty much had to go home after that. So it was a really mm-hmm. fun weekend, and we laughed. Oh, my God. We just laughed too much. It's like sore ribs. Do we hang out with all our friends, or... even just a couple of friends, we just have such a good time. Yeah. It's like, oh, my face hurts from smiling too much. And then my dad had asked us to go over, like he always does when he goes on a trip, and he takes a trip probably at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks us to go and take care of, you know, the cat that my mom got right before she passed away, and it's now his cat, and to bring in his mail and stuff like that. And I haven't really talked about it too much here, but my relationship with him in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, has just become very complicated.
Yeah.
And it's not very healthy for me.
Yeah.
To be really honest, it's not a healthy relationship on my side. It makes me feel very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And like a total fail, you know? And so it was turning into that again. And so I actually, you know, one of my goals for the year, I only really had a couple of goals. And one of them was to stand up for myself more.
Mm-hmm.
And to not be pushed into things that break me. And that is the way he sometimes interacts with me is very hurtful. And it takes me a couple of days to recover from it frequently. And so I actually took my sister up on her offer, which was, you know, let her know if, you know, I needed help with anything like that. And so I called and said, yeah, I'm going to tag you in this time and let you take care of the house and stuff like that. Because with the way the schedule it is, it's about an hour to go do that, you know, go to his house, take care of what needs to be taken care of and get home. And I only have between 2 and 3 hours a night to do everything before I have to get up and go to work for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really proud of myself for taking that step of dodging that negativity and bolstering myself
mm-hmm.
and taking that stand for myself. And I felt kind of bad for doing it, like I was being a bad daughter.
Right.
But I'm really focusing on positivity and keeping negativity away, because life is too short and I'm tired of feeling bad
mm-hmm.
and having people's impact on me cause me to have a negative impact on other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a domino effect. If someone treats you bad, then even if you don't mean to, it affects you and you treat other people bad.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, as much as can be, you know, possible, to try and keep that negativity away.
Yeah.
And if you guys are wondering what that rattling noise is, it's because Kaylee's playing right above our head with a bouncy thing.
She's throwing something around the room.
Hopefully it's a toy and not part of the baseboard. But so, I mean, I felt guilty, which is, of course, why I usually just go ahead and take the negativity, because it's sometimes it's easier than the guilt. But this time I just was like, you know what? I feel bad. I'm going to let myself feel guilty and proud of myself for really defending myself the way that I would defend anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that was big, strong moment.
Very good.
So then that Tuesday night, LT had a concert for his strings orchestra.
Yeah. It was his first real recital, kind of.
It was very cool. He was very nervous for a lot of reasons, but I think he did really well. I mean, he didn't like drop it or anything like that. You couldn't really hear him in the midst of the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really proud of him.
Yeah. He did really well.
And it was so cute because they said to wear a polo shirt and black pants.
Those were the only instructions.
Basically just dress nice.
They were supposed to have tuxedos and all these things, but the teacher didn't quite follow through.
And the coordination side of things, it was kind of a disaster. Yeah. So we had to, you know, find an outfit. So we had, you know, black dress slacks kind of things and, you know, kind of dress shoe things that we had convinced him. We had negotiated dress shoes one time when they were more like tennis shoes, but close enough.
Mm-hmm.
So he had those. And of course he has he has more than this, but he only considers that he has two nice shirts, two dressy, semi-dressy shirts. And they're both like, you know, the golf shirt, polo shirt kind of thing. One of them is fluorescent green. The other is almost fluorescent orange with stripes.
Yes.
So for the one at night, he wore the fluorescent green. Mm-hmm. And he kind of stood out.
Yeah.
Although a lot of kids are wearing different colors. His was the brightest.
I was worried that we were going to get there and it was going to be black and white. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, there were other colors, but his was definitely the brightest, most distinctive, with his purple and black striped hoodie.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, he's doing bass violin and he's in the back. And it was difficult for us to get pictures because he was
in the back.
In the back.
But easy to spot structed. With that purple and black. It was this just hard to get a good angle for the camera. And then they had to do a performance during the school day at M's school.
Yeah.
And he wore the orange. Mm-hmm. Our little, you know, very... He's funny in that he doesn't care. It was like we went to our friend our friend's 16th birthday party. And he has this hat. I don't know if anybody saw the twit pic that I did a while ago. If you don't follow me on Twitter, you didn't see it. But there's this Chooch, a picture of Chooch wearing this. It's like a Santa hat, but it's a penguin. It's like a penguin head kind of thing. On top of that is like a Santa hat, and it's got the little ear red thing, the ear flaps that hang down with the white fuzzy balls at the end. Well, LT's still wearing that. He loves this. We got it from like 2 years ago. And at Christmas time, we find it, and he wears it. Well, he started wearing it again. And so he actually wore it to a 16-year-old girl's birthday party last weekend, you know, when it was like in the 80s. And he was wearing that.
With 3D glasses from Monsters vs. Aliens.
So he definitely, he'll dress however he wants. If it amuses him, he's going to wear it. And I love that about him because that's how I was when I was in high school. I just dig it. Orange and green together. It's a great combo. It's an attention getter for sure. But I thought he did a great job. He didn't think so. He had made a mistake. And I told him the same thing that I've always told M and anybody else is that you may know you made a mistake, but we don't know. It has to be really glaring for us to know the mistake because we don't know the music as well as the person sitting there reading the notes. And then the next night, our niece that just had the baby last year came over, and we were doing financial aid because she's going to be going to school in the fall for nursing program. Mm-hmm. So she came over, we did financial aid, and I got to mush on that baby. And there's, you know, a typical kind of situation where you're not with the dad. She's got a lot of drama going on with that right now, and I'm hoping that it all works out and is all to, you know, Jay's best benefit. Because I still think that it's best to have as many people that love a child around that child. But sometimes the conflict is more than the benefit of the love. If there's a lot of chaos, it can be so detrimental that things need to cool off.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy that she's going to be going to school in the fall. I had hoped that she would have already started, but, you know, circumstances being what they are, she's doing her best and trying to take care of business. And so in the fall, we're crossing our fingers. And then her sister, our other niece, turned 21.
Yes.
And what she wanted for her 21st birthday was to see all the grown-ups in her life get schnockered. And she told us this, like, in January, like 2 months before her birthday. You're coming over and you're going to get drunk, right? And it's like, sure. No way in hell. There's no way I'm getting drunk in front of my niece, especially with my other nieces and nephews around. And it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't get schnockered when there's kids around. I just can't bring myself to do it. And it was a lot of fun. We went over there and had a big dinner. And we had a drink. I had a drink. I think you had a drink. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Well, standard drink. And we did have a Jell-O shot.
I had a Jell-O shot, but I didn't have anything else. All I had was a Jell-O shot.
Oh, that was your a drink.
That was my only drink. Gotcha. And that was the only reason I did that was because I had never in my life ever done a Jell-O shot.
Yeah, that's all I had.
That's all
we
had.
Well, I had a couple of them, but...
Yeah. You had two.
Yeah.
But that was... I mean, they were really pressuring us to do it because they knew that I had never done Jell-O shots.
I was thinking that I had been drinking beer, but I wasn't. I was drinking soda and then had the two Jell-O shots.
Yeah. And that was literally all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's like a snooty, judgmental thing, but... It's hard for me having carried her around as a 4-year-old because that's about the time when I met her when she was about 3 or 4 because it's my niece, but it's from my brother's wife's previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to shut off that, you know, to flip that switch, to be just, come on, let's go drinking. And part of the reason is because I've had firsthand experience with alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sensitive to the fact that I want to set a good example for how you should be with alcohol. And I think it's hard to set that example if you're drinking. If you're getting drunk, you're not setting a good example, in my opinion. I think it's really hard to maintain a good example of healthy drinking habits if you're purposefully getting schnockered. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Well,
it's
like
one thing
said,
to have a glass of wine
said,
or to have a beer.
You can't set the example if you're drinking. Well, you can, because we have a beer. I have a couple of beers with dinner every now and then.
I agree. And I have a glass of wine with dinner every once in a while.
And so that shows the kids responsible drinking.
Right. But if you go into it saying, okay, let's get torn up.
Yeah. Yes.
You are going to start losing the ability to control your positive example of drinking.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by that. Yes, you can have a beer in front of your kids. You can have two or three beers in front of your kids if you space it out and you know your limits and eating and all that kind of stuff. So it's just hard for me. And yeah, I'm not the most fun aunt. I never have been. I'm too much of a, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I want to say nurturer, but it's more, I don't know. I just can't ever really cut loose with the kids, which again makes me not the favorite aunt, which is fine.
So we had a great dinner and visited, and you know, we each had a Jello shot and we had a little bit of fun. But when they started getting into the serious drinking, started playing the beer pong and all
that,
it was time for us to call it a night.
So we grabbed our kids and there too, and took off. Our nephews, we grabbed, you know, M and LT, and we grabbed RD and GK, and we just brought them back to our house, and they spent the night, and we hung out, and let everybody do their thing. And the bummer was that we had been hoping for Chooch to get out to Cali this week, because it was your mom's birthday that next week, and so we had hoped for you to get out there to visit her, to surprise her, but with work and money being the way that they were, it didn't pan out. So we're trying to get you out there. I'm hoping to get you out there in May or June, probably June, the way May is looking.
Because yeah, right now,
well, not only that, right now we don't have the money to buy a ticket. So I'm hoping we'll be able to get a ticket for you to go out in June.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe both of us in July for a long weekend. Well, me a weekend and you a long weekend. But we also want to go at Christmas time. We want to take both of the boys and go out there at Christmas time. So, but we've got to get you out there. We've got to get you out there June or July at the latest.
Yeah.
So, I think that's pretty much it, because Kaylee is now barking and squeaking toys and throwing...
seems to be throwing a ball higher in the air.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys... It's like a bowling ball. When did you give her a bowling ball, babe?
Wow.
And she was just barking. I don't know if you guys heard that. I think we better go before she comes through the floor. She's a delicate puppy.
Yes. Wow.
Oh, she's quiet now. For now. Oh, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We must go let Queen Kaylee out to romp around a bit.
Wow. Crazy animal. So, yeah. Thanks for listening.
Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you in two. Oh, and don't forget, Balticon 43.
Yes.
You gotta go.
Come enjoy.
Yes. Geek out with us. And come to our new media party.
Oh, yeah, wear a costume.
It's going to be fun. Or don't wear a costume. I mean, wear clothes. It doesn't have to be a costume if you don't have a costume. Just come by. Because, we're getting prizes together.
Yes.
We're hearing about prizes.
More prizes.
So come on, guys. You know you want to.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.